All right. So I'm starting a new series, and Pastor Emma's starting a new series. It's called Made for More down at Wellard. She's at Wellard this weekend with Stephen and Unami. And so Made for More. Come with me, 2 Timothy 1:8. Who believes they're made for more? Some of you. So this is the older man talking to the younger. I started this series online, I can't remember how many months ago now, but a while ago, but I didn't get past verse 7, so we're going to verse 8. So never be ashamed, 2 Timothy 1:8. So never be ashamed. Turn to your neighbour, come on, never be ashamed. To tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. All right, so 2020 is going down in the history books. There's no doubt about that. Not only as a global pandemic, but also as probably it's still outworking itself, but one of the worst financial recessions we've ever had. And so whether, like some of my friends, that you believe that the whole COVID thing's been a hoax, I know there's many people out there. I talked to a guy at the gym the other day and he goes, "Ah, don't, it's a load of rubbish." Anyway, and whether you believe that or not, or some sort of political ploy, it's still happened. And our world is different, correct? Things are different. And so how we view our future, who we are, is important for our individual and our corporate faith. And so I don't think Timothy was going to desert the gospel. But Paul still felt the compunction to stir Timothy up. And those of us that are here, can we stir one another up in the faith? And he goes on to say, keep him, I guess, from unchristian thoughts and mindsets rather than a bold confession of Christ. And at a time like we've had the last 4 months or so, 100 days, as the reports are saying, that in WA, then I think it is an obligation for me as your pastor too to actually help us stay in faith, but also that we have a future. And so, like Paul, let's see what he says to Timothy. Paul is talking with Timothy and he's saying, do not be ashamed of who you belong to. Do not be ashamed of who you belong to, and do not be ashamed of me, even though I'm in prison. Do not be ashamed of the church whom Christ represents or the people in it. God is the best news that anyone can have. Can anyone agree with me today that Jesus in their life is the best news for them? And so if we really believe that, one of the things I really enjoyed over the long break was all the good news stories I heard online. I heard about them because obviously we organise them as a staff, but then when I watched them online, I thought, this is amazing what God's doing. It encourages our faith. It helps us to know who we are, and we need one another, and we need, Paul needed a Timothy and Timothy needed a Paul. We need one another, and it helps us to inspire one another on. And so God is your best life and he's your best news forever. So the whole series is made for more. And I was reading an article. I like reading little articles, and this one is from a motorcycle company, probably one of the most famous motorcycle companies, which I'll get to. It's from Market Insider. It was published on June 14, 2020, so fairly recent. It's concerning Harley Davidson. Warren Buffett. Anyone know Warren Buffett or know of him? It'd be nice if you knew him personally, actually, but anyway. Warren Buffett loaned a little over $300 million to Harley Davidson in February 2009, when the famous motorcycle maker was reeling from a 1-2 punch of weaker demand and a cash crunch during the financial crisis. A few weeks earlier, Harley Davidson unveiled a three-part plan to weather the downturn. One, invest in the brand. Two, cut costs. And three, find the money to cover its financing divisions. The idea was that Harley Davidson was targeting younger riders and more diverse riders and combining operations, closing some plants. 12% of employees were lost at that time. And Harley Davidson was loaned between that period of time and also, what's the guy's name again that I just talked about? Warren Buffett's parent company, which is Berkshire Hathaway. Between the two, they were loaned over $600 million to keep afloat. And it was a five-year deal. Guess what the interest rate was that Warren Buffett made? 15% return over 5 years. You know how much that had to pay back? $600 million. Now, why do I say that? Because Harley Davidson said it was the bridge we needed to get us through a rough time. And Berkshire Hathaway and Buffett said, whilst everyone else was paralysed, we could still do things. Who'd like to be in that camp? Who knows that it's not about money here today. This is about if we're not paralysed, if we're not in fear, we are compelled to spread the gospel. Anyway, getting back to Harley Davidson, they believed that they were made for more and were prepared to take an incredible risk. They're still working on that today, I believe. But at the time, Warren Buffett made a sound investment and got all his money back and more. 1 Timothy 9:11. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. That's a good word, isn't it? Immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of his good news. And so our re-entry into church life is based around what the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy. The Greek word for immortality in verse 10 means not subject to decay. Through our relationship with Jesus, we are no longer subject to decay. We take on the resurrection of Christ and become completely incorruptible. Well, I got a little bit excited about that. I find that encouraging that with Christ, I am going somewhere that perhaps my neighbour isn't, and I am confident in who I am because I have Christ in my life. And so the good news is that we have a permanent union with God. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We know, there is no doubt. We know where we are going. And we know that because God is with us, that we are made for more. And when he is your Lord, there is more for you to do for him. It's a life calling. Here's Paul in prison, knowing he's going to be martyred. Someone asked me the other day, how did he die? And they don't actually really know, but they think he was beheaded by the Romans. And so here's Paul in this situation, and yet he's still encouraging his younger, saying, this is the gospel. This is what we're living for. Can we do this together, church? This is the gospel. This is what we're living for. And as much as we need to do a lot of other things in our life, there is one thing that remains totally important to us, and that's our relationship with Christ. And through our relationship with Christ, we are made for more. I watched a couple of interviews of Canadian astronauts. We've got a couple of French Canadians over here. As they are re-entering, they hold the world record. Did you know that? For the amount of time in space, 204 days is the record by one of the, his name was David St. John. I didn't say that right, but holds a record. So anyway, they were talking about these re-entries back into Earth's atmosphere. And they are fiery affairs. Ever watched one of those on television and as things fly off and they burn up? And so the astronaut sits in this little pod as he comes back to Earth, and there's a parachute that's supposed to stop their fall, but it looks like they're doing about 200 kilometres an hour, and they hit the ground, back on, and one of them I watched was in Kazakhstan, in the desert in Kazakhstan, and he landed, and he tried to get out of the capsule, and he wanted to walk, but his blood pressure was so low that his brain wanted to, but he couldn't actually walk, and for 6 weeks, many of the astronauts were woozy and unable to, it took them 6 weeks to actually acclimatise back into Earth's atmosphere. And so I spoke on that, adding to this story before I give you the point. I spoke with Cherry Schroeder, the senior pastor for C3 Hepburn Heights recently, and she said to me, it was so good worshipping corporately again in church. Do we have a few amens for that one? Great job, worship team. Thank you. And because we have started a few weeks later than some have gone back a few weeks before us, church I mean, we have been able to gain some understanding. And yet, in my mind, here's the thing. Our attitude, which is what Paul was talking to Timothy about, our attitude will either make us feel woozy and off our game, or we can decide to be positive amidst the changes and differences that we are used to, and perhaps, as Andrea said to me this morning, have a conservative optimism that God's in control. And so the thing I do know, our balance will come from Christ. Imbalance will come when we look at what is not. Allow him to center you today. Things may never quite be the same as they were, but Christ hasn't changed, and therefore our mission hasn't changed. 2 Timothy 1:11, and God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. And God chose me. Why don't we say it together? And God chose me. You and I know when it was that God chose us and what it is he has called us to do according to our abilities and our makeup. And when we don't do what he has called us to do, we have bits flying off us. We get woozy and we lose heart. It's why Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gifts that he has given you. You and I are made for more. 2 Timothy 1:12, that is why I am suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Richard Wurmbrand was imprisoned and tortured for Christ from 1948 in Romania because he said that Christianity and communism were incompatible. He served 14 years in prison and was eventually ransomed for $10,000. For 3 of the 14 years, Richard was placed in solitary confinement. His cell was 12 feet underground with no lights or windows. There was no sound because the guards wore felt on the soles of their shoes. Richard said he maintained his sanity by sleeping during the day, staying awake at night, and exercising his mind and soul by composing and delivering a sermon each night. Due to his extraordinary memory, he was able to recall 350 of these sermons once he was released, some of which he mentions in his book, which is called With God in Solitary Confinement. All right, With God in Solitary Confinement, for those of you who like to read. In May 1966, Richard testified, he got out from Romania and went to the US. In Washington, D.C., he's before the US Senate Security Subcommittee. And the testimony in which Richard, he actually took off his shirt to show the scars, and he was then brought into public attention, and he became known as the voice of the underground church, which was later renamed the voice of the martyrs, which some of you will know. In 1990, Richard and his wife, after everything that he'd been through, and Sabina, his wife, was also imprisoned at the same time, not quite as severely. Guess what they did? They went back to Romania for the first time in 25 years, and the Voice of the Martyrs opened a printing facility and bookstore in Bucharest, and people were won to the Lord. You and I are made for more. His best known book, for those of you who like to read, is Tortured for Christ, published in 1967. Richard died, considering all the tortures and everything that he went through, he died at 91 years of age. He wrote 18 books in both English and Romanian. You and I are made for. He's an ordinary guy that just was going to go against the. He knew what he believed. And he helped so many people come to Christ through his writings and through his testimonies. And you and I may have had a good breakaway and enjoyed some freedom that we're not used to. But it's the gospel that's got to inspire us. I don't know about you, but I was inspired by a guy like Richard. And can't deny God's power to bring hope in a hurting world right now. Many times I am asked, as many of you know, what do you do, Nigel? And the other day, an old acquaintance at the gym, because now the gymnasiums are back and everything's getting back in WA, and I hadn't seen this young man, or younger than me anyway, for quite a while, and everyone's willing to chat. Have you noticed that? Everyone wants a chat. What used to take half an hour at the gym now takes 45 minutes because you've got to have a chat. And so you walk along the path and people want to chat to you. Everyone's friendly. Hello. We've been starved. Now it's getting back to normal. Won't be long before we... Let's hope that doesn't happen. But here's the thing. So he's talking to me, and I said, how you going? He goes, oh, it hasn't been so good, actually. I've separated from my ex, and this is my new partner. He introduces, well, kind of showed me his new partner was working out on a different machine. I said, oh, great, okay. And then he goes, the all-important question came, what do you do? And I said, I run a couple of churches. And he goes, what do you mean? You run a couple of churches. I said, well, actually, I'm the senior minister. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, the friend that I work out with, that I train with at the gym, his father's a preacher like you. And so it got me thinking. Paul says in Timothy 1:8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I know I've been pondering this verse since that sort of conversation with my friend at the gym, and we ended up going back to our, separate workouts and what have you. And but I'm thinking about he's got a new partner. All these things are going through my head, and I think, how can I best, next time I see him, allow the Holy Spirit to help in some way? And so it's not actually that I mind that people know what I do. It's more I'd rather ease myself into a conversation to gain some standing with those people first. And apparently, I've been told that I look more like a tradesman than a preacher. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to look like, but I am who I am. But I'll tell you one thing, this has really impacted me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And perhaps I just need to be as blunt as I am with most situations and just go, well, you know what? I'm the senior minister of C3 Frio. And they'll go, what does that mean? Because most people still have the same conversation. But here's the thing. I want to get less of me and more of Christ. Do you? And so we are made for more. If the music team could come back, that'd be fantastic. Let's finish on at least half a song. I want us to recognise, and that's why I brought out these illustrations today, that even in, like, Paul's in prison. Richard Wurmbrand, wow. I didn't know that you could have a prison like that. Can we stand to our feet? We are made for more. Yes, we have a career to follow. Yes, we have responsibilities to provide for our family. Yes, we need to get along with those around us as best we can. But ultimately, what Paul is talking about to Timothy is that we are made for more. We have a responsibility. Why don't we just lift our hands? Just worship him today. To allow God to take center place in our life. He chose me. Why don't you say it to yourself right now, to God? Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing me, Lord. I receive afresh today an impartation into my life. Help me not to be ashamed, but to be your man and woman for the spread of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today as we're standing. You haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I would like to take this opportunity. We're going to pray a prayer together. And at the end of that prayer, if you'd just like to raise your hand, and I'll see your hand, and you can accept Christ as Lord of your life. Let's bow our heads and do that right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I'm grateful that you died on the cross for me. I receive you into my life. I repent of my wrongdoing, of my past. You've taken it on the cross. You have set me free. In Jesus' name, take leadership today. Amen.